Jurickson and Profar done for 80 games, postseason ban as well. Braves scrambling around to find offense. Been disaster, 0-5 to start the year. And we'll play Make Sandy Laugh All Show if you want as well, 404-726-0929. We'll get to the tailgate coming up. Kind of some fun stuff to talk about, and also some good cuts. And Georgia sports fans, something you may not have thought about that you may want to call your buddy and be like, I got something for us. NFL obviously reigns supreme, getting closer and closer to the draft. We're finally into April. So, you know, there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel for the draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which should be a lot of fun. Wish we had more picks, but it is what it is for Falcon fans. The Kirk Cousins things maybe will be resolved right around draft time. A game of chicken being played with Cousins' team and our team, and he's floating around a Chipotle in Cleveland over the weekend. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Posing with fans, talks about his order. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just was looking on his Instagram. One of the things he posted was a ad for QB. What's the name of the show? Just QB on Netflix. Which quarterback are you most looking forward to watching this year? It was an ad they ran, and he reposted it. It's a picture of him, Kirk Cousins, and Joe Burrow. Him, Jared Goff, and Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Still a curious decision for a guy that's already been on the show that needed to go back to the well. Why the NFL couldn't find a different quarterback than Kirk Cousins. It'll be fascinating. What I always say, greatest reality show is sports. Even better reality show is the NFL season, because those personalities and storylines are always unique. Cousins' story is unique as anything, but probably shouldn't be doing that. Also, probably didn't need to throw that podcast or that conversation out about, you know, it was a clerical error, and then coming back and saying he was injured in that podcast. And then doesn't need to be, I don't know, sending stuff from Cleveland. Like, there's just so much kind of nonsense surrounding him, right? Like, just lay low. Let the Falcons move you somewhere. You don't want to be here. Go somewhere you have a chance to start. You're not starting. You're not in the mix. There's nothing that could happen unless Michael Penix was injured and you're the backup that would ever put you back on the field, in my estimation. And just let the process play out and lay low, and let's move Kirk Cousins. Also, Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin yesterday interviewing a huge crowd waiting for him at the tables there, all 32 NFL coaches doing interviews at this NFL meetings, and he immediately gets into the Aaron Rodgers situation, says that they had a great visit, they've known each other for years, they've circled each other for years, spending decades around the NFL, and he basically lets you know he's got no issue whatsoever with bringing Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. Didn't say it's happening. It's happening. They don't have any quarterbacks other than Mason Rudolph. You're going to tell a disgruntled Pittsburgh Steeler fan base, a fan base that is over losing in the first round of the playoffs, is over having a pedestrian offense, is over being overhyped the way they are, you're going to tell them Mason Rudolph's their quarterback? Of course it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And there is a Pat McAfee show, you said, what's the actual date on that? He referenced that, Bo, on Raw, on Netflix last night.
So WWE is actually, I guess, producing this show.
Yeah.
And so they're making a big deal out of it, of course.
Oh, they're producing the McAfee show.
Yeah, they're producing the live show. So while they're hyping this thing up, last night on Monday Night Raw, Pat McAfee does include a big announcement will be made. So nobody knows. I'm not saying that this is going to be Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, but it does kind of seem that way.
What else would it be?
It's got to be that, yeah.
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers in a Steeler uniform with Rodgers on the back, walking out and sucking all those fans right back in. By the way, Woody Johnson, he also spoke at the owners' meetings, absolutely disgruntled with that NFLPA survey where the Jets finished like 29th overall, and also said, we gave Aaron Rodgers a shot. I listened to the folks around the team. I listened to my head coach. I listen to the others. That experiment is over. It was worth a chance. It did not work. We wish you well. So that's a couple of things that Woody Johnson had to say.
Back up to the disgruntled part. What was it that he was disgruntled about?
Well,
he says it wasn't legit.
He says
it's like
not,
a restaurant getting a terrible
right,
few reviews.
Who are you blaming?
Not just one. And right.
On Yelp. Right. Now, he's like, it's a biased system. the way they ask the players, whatever. It's an owner that's embarrassed, and the beauty of it is somebody has to finish 30th or 25th, and they don't want to. And these are modest. The best way I describe the owners was, I forget what gentleman I was talking to in the business world. He said, they're the closest thing to modern-day kings, right, from 500 years ago. These 32 guys who are all multi-billionaires, right?
Yeah.
Titans of industries, the owners of their towns in terms of, you know, notoriety, running the most popular sport in the world. They're all used to being treated a certain way, and they don't like finishing at the bottom of anything, particularly on how we treat our players, how our facilities are, the comfort of, you know, a player on our team, the weight room, everything. They don't want to be last. They don't want to be 25th. That's what the Jets are, and I agree with you. That's just disgruntled, you know, fix it.
Be better.
Arthur Blank didn't like it. He fixed it all. He's got one of the highest scores. Mm-hmm. The Falcons now way ahead of everybody else when it comes to their perception.
Right.
Let's do it.
It's time to tailgate.
Tailgate, have a good time.
Taking a look around the world of college sports.
This is the Tailgate on the Steakhouse.
Brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Big enough to serve, small enough to care. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Men's Final Four all set for Saturday. Your schedule is 6 o'clock, Florida-Auburn, 8:50. Houston and Duke. Duke is getting all the money in Vegas. They are the favorite in Vegas. Are you surprised by that?
Well, here's the thing. They're four of the greatest teams that have ever been to the Final Four when you look at the overall seasons they had. In any other year, Auburn would be the prohibitive favorite, or Houston would absolutely, Kelvin Sampson, you'd be looking at Houston finally getting their first national title. The problem is Duke is having a legendary season with an all-time great player in Cooper Flagg. So when you say they're getting all of it, they're the favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's some real value on Houston. If you look at what Houston did to Alabama, that was extraordinary. They're the toughest team in the field. They're the most physical team in the field. Duke is the most complete. Florida, maybe the most talented. I mean, it's an incredible Final Four. But this is a very, very special Duke team. And for a head coach who's in his 30s, imagine John Shire getting his first title in just his third year with Duke, and Cooper Flagg saying, I came to Duke, I came, I saw, I won a national title, and I moved on. It would be pretty incredible.
Sidebar, interesting segment overnight from Sean Farnham, the reporter, the NCAA reporter, comparing and contrasting the two head coaches with Kelvin Sampson and John. He was.
By the way, Duke beat Alabama. I apologize. Who did I say beat him?
Houston.
Oh, Houston beat the last second shot in the Sweet 16, and they completely dogged out Tennessee in the Final Eight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Comparing and contrasting the two coaches of Cryer and Sampson, literally leading up to the final four games, he didn't like how practice was going, Kelvin was with Houston, and he literally made him get on the line and run sprints. And John is of the mindset of meditation and quiet sessions,
yeah,
and the whole mental
modern day. Kelvin Sampson's approaching 800 wins. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. He is one of the legendary coaches in college basketball history, and John Shire's just getting started. So very different for sure. But these are elite defensive teams, Houston and Duke.
Mick Cronin, really good overnight. I saw on Instagram. I wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on all these players.
Guys get to college, and it's way harder than they thought. Unless your name is Michael Jordan or Cooper Flagg, you know, guys like that. Alonzo Ball, Kevin Love. 99.9% of them, it's harder than they think or they thought it was going to be. Then you either make excuses, quit, transfer, blame others, or you get to work. And that's what life's about.
There's a lot to be learned from the adversity card, right? How are you going to handle? How are you going to work through? I don't think that going to four schools in 4 years and thinking that, you know, was it R.J. Godfrey just declared at Georgia? So 2 years ago, Clemson goes to the Final Four. Big part of that, his dad played at Georgia. He transfers to Georgia. Wasn't happy with that. Now he's transferring again. I think there's a lot to be said. He's the head coach of UCLA, by the way. just the portal, too many options for these kids, too many people in their ear, too many chances to chase the buck. And it's totally deteriorating the college experience. That's fine. It was a little bit like pros. Now it's 100% like the pros, except the pros have a salary cap. You have to sign an actual deal where you, at least you know, I'm going to be in this city for 4 years. Let me get comfortable and try to work. Here, it's like, I could be here for 7 months. I'll move somewhere else. Just, it's not a good look for college basketball.
It's not going away anytime soon.
No, not, absolutely.
Prime time, Deion Sanders suggested, put it out there, I'd rather play somebody, have a practice with somebody, and play a different team. And Fran Brown at Syracuse said, I'll do it. Let's do it. Well, the NCAA says, not so fast, my friend. And Fran Brown has a theory.
We should have just told Coach Belichick and Bill O'Brien to come up with it, and then they would have let them do it. And then it would have all went, right? We shouldn't have been the first two dudes to say, you know, damn well they wasn't about to let Coach Prime Time and Fran Brown be the first two guys to do it. It was over their dead bodies, so that wasn't happening that way. I'm just messing with you, NCAA. Don't get all mad and call my AD and try to find me. I'm literally joking.
Was he joking?
I'm sure the NCAA would not have been happy with those comments. I assume it means because those guys are more recognized, right?
Or respected, maybe. Maybe he feels they're more respected in that regard.
I mean,
O'Brien and Bill Belichick. That's the names he came up with.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's the ace. It's fellow ACC teams also, right? So Carolina and Boston College, both in the ACC, both former NFL coaches. I don't know how they feel about Belichick. They could care less about Bill O'Brien. I don't think the BC program or Bill O'Brien as a college coach has any juice whatsoever, right? Or they're also two white coaches. There's two black coaches. I'm sure the NCAA didn't like that either, right? Because, again, what were you insinuating there, right?
Fran Brown and Deion Sanders, with those two big personalities, would have been so good on a TV show and so good for spring practice.
How about both of them mic'd up while their teams are playing?
Oh, my gosh.
How entertaining would that have been?
Just irritates me all
the time. I just like to know why the NCAA denied it, because it's not a bad idea.
It's a great idea.
Because, yeah, nobody's ever done it.
I think that's his point of like, okay, somebody want to tell us why?
No, I agree with you.
100%. Real quick. Georgia baseball, ladies and gentlemen, number 3 in the country. The Dogs are 28-2. Texas is number 5 in the country. They're 23-3. The Dogs are heading to Austin for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday SEC series. 3-5.
How fun for a Georgia baseball player to be going through a year like this. And now you have these weekend series at SEC opponents. You're going to Austin, Texas to play the Longhorns, one of the most tradition-ridden, it may not be the word, in the history of college baseball,
yeah.
University of Texas, where a ton of stars have come out of. And now you're Georgia at number 3. Imagine getting on a plane and saying, I'm going to go watch Georgia play baseball, and I'm going to spend my weekend eating and drinking and partying in Austin,
Texas. Yeah,
look
for concerts and a little baseball,
music.
College baseball, two of the best programs. I think that's
a road
great.
Trip. That's a road trip right there.
Yeah, totally agree. And real quick, we'll just mention the women's Final Four is set. Two SEC teams are representing, as well as South Carolina and Texas will play, and then UConn and UCLA. That's 3-1 seeds, and the UConn is number 2 seed, but USC gets bounced by them just because of Juju out. Yeah, because as soon as USC lost Juju, their odds went way, way down. But they were awfully close to getting all 4-1 seeds in as well.
Yeah, that would have been a phenomenal game had Juju been playing.
Yeah,
I hate that she got injured,
yeah.
Man.